Who's Robert Pinsky? He's the reason why Rabbi
Yeah.
He's head of Kabbalah now, right?
Okay. Chav Beis Amid Beis. What did I say? 15 lines in the top. In the Gemara, with the English, is 22b1. Second column. Okay, in the Brice is continuing the difference between Avelus for parents, for father and mother, and Avelus for all the other relatives. So before, the Gemara was discussing about tefillin and all these various different things. Now the Gemara says like this. In the Brice it said, Akola Mason Kulam, for all the other relatives that died, Kulam is stopping Lacher Shleishim Yom. You could take a haircut after 30 days. Because we learned 30 days, there's no more mourning. For father and mother, you can't take a haircut until your friends scream at you that your hair is disgusting, that your hair is too long.
That's the minimum 30 days. It's only after 30 days.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. For parents, you can't take a haircut after 30 days. That's what the Gemara is saying. For all other relatives, you can take a haircut after 30 days.
Right.
For parents, until your friend screams at you. Which plus can be known as like 3 months.
Oh.
So
now,
he's saying minimum is 1 month for one of them. Minimum. That's
a minimum for everybody is 1 month. For parents, it's longer.
After 2 weeks, let's say.
You can do it. For anybody.
So minimum is 1 month.
A minimum is 1 month, yeah. Now, I'll call a Mason Kulam for all other dead relatives. You go to a party after 30 days. Again, it's the same concept. Avelus for every other relative except parents is 30 days. So after 30 days, you can take a haircut. After 30 days, you go to a party. If you're in mourning for a father and mother, after 12 months. Like we know, Avelus for a parent is 12 months. But now the Gemara says like this. But for a friendship party, meaning not a mitzvah party, a social party, you can go after 30 days. Meaning, what Rabbi Babachan is, the Gemara is going to refute him in a second. But the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Babachan says, there's that 30 days. You can go to a party for all relatives, not parents. This, you can go to a party after 30 days, that's to a social party. But to a real big party, you can't. Even for other relatives. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha. It says in a braise, Ula simcha, ula merei, shleishim yein. It says clearly, for simcha, for all other relatives, you can also go after 30 days. And the Gemara says, Kashi. The Gemara says, yeah, Rabbi Barbachon is refuted. So therefore the Gemara's conclusion is, not like Rabbi Barbachon said, that for all relatives, after 30 days you can go to a social party, but not to Big Simcha. The halacha is, after 30 days you can even go to Big Simcha. Ameimer, Amas Nehocha. Ameimer learned it a little bit different. Ameimer said, what does it mean? Amar Rabbi Barbachon. He learned Rabbi Barbachana's din differently. The Rabbi Barbachana said, if it's a friendship party, you don't even have to wait 30 days. This is what he said. Rabbi Barbachana says, if it's not a real simcha, just a social gathering, you can even do it during 30 days. So the Gemara says, how could that be? It says clearly in a braisa, V'atanya, we just quoted it, L'simcha shleishim, for a simcha party, 30 days. And for a friendship party, you need 30 days. So here the Braisa says, clearly you still need 30 days. How can you say you can go right away? So Gemara answered Likash. Habari Susa, ha beperanusa. They used to have in the Mefarshim Rashi explains, at the time of the Gemara, they had friendship parties. What does it mean? A bunch of friends got together, and every month another friend made a party. Okay? So, then, when this guy's party time came, he was in Avelus. Mm-hmm. So over there, Rabbi Barbachana said, this is a payment party. He knows you have to pay up your debt. So he says like this, this that the Braise says you need to wait 30 days to go to a party, that's if you're the first one making the party. But if you're paying up a party because all your friends made a party and you have to make one too, so even within 30 days you're allowed.
Piron means payment?
Piron is, yeah, piron. Piron is payment. So to pay, then you're allowed. See, if you see Tesis says over here, in this Tesis, the third Tesis, Tesis Simcha Mereus, you know, for this type of friendship party. So Tesis appears Bekuntis, Rashi learns, what does Sudas Mereus mean? So Uda Sha'esim Reim Vahuvim Zelazeh. They make a party one for another. And then, you know, you have to pay back the party. And then Tesis says, because Simcha Mereus is Mutalach Elamidyeim. But Simcha's Chosim Rekala, at least for parents, even after 30 days, is forbidden. And then Tesis says a different opinion, that you can go even for even after 30 days, you can even go for a wedding. And there's a variant in middle of the Tesis, past the midway, Tesis says, Pirshir Balad Avram B'Shem Rabbeinu Shimshin, the Lasudas Bris Milah, Mutar Likonis Lichshiva Simcha. He says a Bris Milah is not considered a simcha. But there's a lot of different opinions. Other people say it's not so poshut. And Tesis brings down a lot of different opinions. Like we have even today in Halach, a lot of opinions. What can an oval go to? You know? So obviously the Gemara says 30 days is stricter than the rest of the year. So 30 days, the machmir today, not to go to any type of party. After 30 days, you know, depending what the party is, you can go. There's also another heter that's brought down that if you help, or let's put it this way, halach is if you're needed, then you go in there to work, so there's a heter to go even during the year. You know, like this, the mashal, give an example. What happens if there's a bar mitzvah? Can an ova go to a bar mitzvah? So technically you can't go. It's a simcha. You can't go. Like the Gemara says here, even after 30 days you can't go. But they write that what happens if they need you? They need you to work. So then you can go, but you have to walk out by the music, by the dancing. So what's right? They work. You pour somebody a few drinks at your table. So they need you to be a waiter. It doesn't say how much you have to work. So this is a hat that people use when they need to. Otherwise, it's interesting. When people go with a shav, they can go to a simcha during the year. I tell them, you want to go? Well, you don't want to go. You don't want to go, you have a great excuse. You're not allowed to go. You want to go, you can find a heter to go. You know, but if you don't want to go, it's a great excuse that you can't go.
Do we know what kind of simcha, the party they used to have? I mean, do you have more information on it?
Rashi just says they used to make social gatherings.
Really? In all the days they used to do that?
Yeah, what does it say? Here. These friendships, it quotes from Rashi, but these friendship celebrations were gatherings that were hosted by each of the friends on a rotating basis. The mourner may not participate in initial friendship banquet until 30 days passed. But if he attended one of these banquets before the relative died, and now it's his turn to make the party, the Gemara says he's allowed to. No, for being, you know, anything that's inspiring of Torah mitzvahs is you're allowed to. What?
We call it dore.
What's dore?
Every month somebody throws a party for
that. That's exactly what this is, no? That's exactly what this is.
No, but it sounds that Gemara agrees with this kind of parties.
The Gemara's stating a fact. They used to make the parties. You know, and I'm sure in the olden times they used to. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, but it says Tov Leiv Mishta Tomid. It's the last din of the entire Arachayim, Chelak Arachayim in Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah ends Arachayim, which is Hilchos Purim, the last halach. He writes Tov Leiv. He quotes the pasuk Tov Leiv Mishta Tomid. It's interesting, they say Shulchan Aruch starts with Tamid and it ends with Tamid. Or Chaim. It starts with Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid and it ends with Tev Leiv Mishta Tomid. It says Tomid at the beginning, they say, Reach Nechayat Ishmur, Shnayim Layayim Eila Somid. The two carbon Eila, the carbon Tomid. He brought in the moon. So you say, this is the two Tomid at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch and at the end of Shulchan Aruch. Okay, then the Gemara says, oh, by the way, Tosis says in the previous Tosis before that, Tosis says, the singer that says by parents, you can't take a haircut until your friend screams at you. There's not, like, Yom Tov doesn't take that away. Remember, we learned Yom Tov takes away Shiva, Yom Tov takes away Shloshim, but this concept, until your friend screams at you, Yom Tov has nothing to do with the time. It has to be, in other words, your hair has to be long enough that your friends are already telling you, wow, you know, your hair is too long. Many opinions say it's 3 months. No. Then there's another interesting machlekes in halacha. Does it mean every haircut for the year is every 3 months? Or only the first time? So most opinion, and this is the way basically the halacha is, that the first haircut you take after the person passes away has to be 3 months. Afterward you can take more of it. But there are opinions in halacha that say 3 months each haircut for the whole year. Okay, now the Gemara is going back to, again to the Braise with the laws of tearing kriya. Okay, tearing the garments. So it says, in the Braise it says, I'll call a mason kulam for all the other deceased, meaning besides parents, kriya tefach, you tear a tefach. You know, three and a half inches. But if it's for a father and a mother, ad shemegale eslibay, ashigal eslibay, until you expose your heart, meaning all the garments until the heart. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what this means. Basically, it means like this: for any other relative, once you tear one garment, a tefach, it's enough. It's enough. By parents, there's a lot of different opinions, even at the bottom. Poskim discussed this, there's a lot of different opinions in halacha. But simply it means over here, you have to tear all the garments. Like for instance, feel at home, Beryl.
I'll do.
Okay. Now, if somebody lost, let's say, God forbid, a brother, so you tear one garment. Let's see, the jacket, that's all. When a parent passes away, you have to tear the jacket and the shirt. And the Gemara is going to say, undershirt's not. In fact, even in Poskim discussed, you have to tear your tzitzis, the talus cotton, they have to tear and they write not. But the Gemara says the difference is by a regular relative, and we'll see, there's a lot of, we shouldn't know of it, but if somebody tears for a brother, let's say, who passes away, once they tear the garment, let's say they change the garment during Shiva, they don't have to tear another one. But if somebody, let's say, tore a shirt for a parent, and the shirt gets dirty and they want to change the shirt, you have to tear the next shirt. Again, the next one you have to tear again. So this is what the Gemara says. For all other relatives, once you tear it a tefach, it's enough. For any other relative, you need to touch the heart. The Gemara is going to explain this whole thing. Amar Ababu, Maikra, where do we learn this out from a pasuk? Because it says, Vayachzik David Bibgodov, David HaMelech took the garments. When he learned that Janus, Shaul HaMelech and Janusin fell in war, but he held the garment and he tore it. Now the Gemara says, why does it say he held the garment and tore it? It should have said he tore the garment. The Gemara learns out, when you hold it, how much do you hold? You hold the tefach. So the pasuk is teaching us that when you tear the garment, it has to be a tefach. Because it says, he held the garment and then he tore it. So it means he held it a tefach, and we know in a chizipachus mitefach. And the Gemara is going to continue before we get into the details. Then the Gemara says, "I call the mason kulim for all other relatives. Afilu lavo shasara chalukim. Even if somebody was wearing 10 shirts, ain't a kreda ala elyon. He only tears the top shirt. Al aviv alimai kereyas kulan. You have to tear all 10 shirts. Like we said, you have to tear. This is according to many rishonim what the Gemara means before. You have to tear achi gala libai." Until your heart becomes revealed, meaning you have to tear all the garments. But apir karsu say einem akeves. But the kerchief, and here again a bunch of different opinions. It simply means use kerchief you don't have to tear. What does it mean the kerchief you don't have to tear? They used to wear like a scarf around the neck. So somebody shenem learned what does the Gemara mean over here? That even though when you tear your garment, and now you're going to wear this kerchief, it's going to cover the tear, it doesn't matter. Another opinion is, you don't have to tear the handkerchief, because it's not really a garment. And a third opinion, of exactly what this means, is, it refers to undershirt. Because what's called big dezea, the garment that absorbs the sweat of the body, that you don't have to tear. Because that you're not wearing it as a garment to wear, you're wearing it as a garment to absorb the sweat. So therefore the Gemara is saying, for all other relatives who die, you only have to tear one garment. For a parent, you have to tear all the garments. And then it says, Echad ha'ish v'echad ha'ish. Who has to tear garments? Both men and women. Men have to tear garments. If a woman's parent died, a brother, a sister, whatever, they have to tear the garments. Reb Shimon, Allah Zer Eimer, and we'll soon see, by the way, what this means. Reb Shimon, Allah Zer Eimer, ha'ish kiras ha'tachtna. The woman, now there's a problem with modesty. If a woman's going to rip her garment, so then it's revealing too much of the skin. So Rav Shimon Elazar, the Chachamim hold, and we'll soon see in the Gemara what it means, Chachamim hold, she tears like a man. That's it. And the Gemara is going to say she could pin it, you know, that it shouldn't be open. Rav Shimon Elazar says a different thing. How does a woman tear kriya? She wears, let's say, a bottom garment. She tears it. Then she turns it backwards and tears the top garment. So then she's still covered because even though one layer is torn, but the bottom layer is whole. But she had to tear the bottom one too because she has to tear all the garments. So, but that she turned to the back, so therefore she has tznius plus she fulfilled the obligation of tearing kriya.
She does it or somebody does it for her?
We're going to soon see the Gemara. The fact is, any kriya, you have somebody else starting for you. Usually, that's the minhag. We're going to see, the Gemara is going to discuss it. Because we're going to learn that for parents, you have to do it with your hand. You can't just take a knife and cut it. For all the other relatives, if you did that, it's kosher. For parents, you actually have to tear it with a hand. So we'll learn over there, the Mefarshim explained, that's the halacha. Somebody could start it, because you can't just take a... you don't show these things on yourself. You can't just take a garment and rip it. I mean, unless you're Superman, unless you're Shimshin. But otherwise, you can't. So then somebody starts to cut, and then you. But you have to tear the tefach. Okay, then it says. The Gemara's by the way, there's another interesting custom also. By the way, in we learned before in the Gemara, when you tear kriya, you have to do it standing. You have to stand when you tear kriya. If you did it sitting, got to do it again. You have to do it again. But the custom is also that for parents, you tear on the left side. And for all the other relatives, you tear on the right side. What happens if by mistake you made a mistake, then it doesn't matter. You don't have to redo it. But the halacha is for parents, you tear on the left, next to the heart, so to speak. And for all the other relatives, you tear on the right. Then he says like this, I'll call a mason kulam for all other relatives, rata mavdo kame safi shalai, rata ena mavdo. He can separate the garment beyond the border of the neck slit. They used to have the garments were made with a neck slit, because they didn't have, like we have today, shirts, the button. It used to go over the heads. So it used to be a neck slit. Right? So it says, by all other relatives, if you want, you could go beyond the border, or you can just tear the border of the self, the neck, the slit of the neck. In other words, if a garment has a little slit, to put it over your head. So by all other relatives, you can just take that slit and tear it more. And it's good. For parents, you can't do it. Al aviv al imi, but for parents, mavdil. But for parents, you have to actually separate beyond the border. Meaning, you can't just continue the slit that exists, you have to start a new slit. Rabbi Yehuda argues. And he says, Kol kriya, she'ein mavdil kami sofer shaloi. Because the first opinion says you could tear the next slit. Okay? But the Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda holds, no. A tearing that you don't tear a new tear is not a tear. It's just a continuation, but it's not actually a new tear. Kol kriya she'ein mavdil kami sofer shaloi, any garment that you don't go beyond the border, ein el krashel tiflis, it's uselessness tearing. It's worthless. It's worthless. No, you have to go to the second Gemara Shimshon. 1 minute. No, which one's first? Amid Gotten's first. You got it? Chav Beis Amid Beis. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amar Rababu said, my Tamid Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason, Rabbi Yehuda, that he also need to make a new tear? Like, you can't use the old tear. Because it says in the Pasuk, V'yachzik b'begodov. He took his garments, and this is, as they bring down, when Eliyahu HaNavi went upstairs to heaven, so Elisha, the Talmud of Eliyahu, tore Kriya. He had to tear, because it's very interesting. Eliyahu HaNavi didn't die, he just went,
did they know that?
Huh?
Did they know that?
Yeah, he saw him go up. Elisha was there. He said, the Pasuk says he saw him go up.
Right.
So when Elisha saw that Eliyahu HaNavi is leaving the world, something. What's the concept of Kriya? The concept of Kriya is somebody was torn away from us. So torn away from us, we tear our garments. I mean, that's one of the concepts of Kriya. So it says when Elisha did it. So the Pasuk says, what did he do? Vayachzi bibegodov. Yalisha held onto his garment. He tore it into double tears two. Now, kroim itself means tears. Right? Why does the pasuk say, shnayim kroim, two tears? Tears is two. He said, the fact that he said he tore them, meaning plural, and the yedei shein l'shnayim, don't they know it's two? Why does the pasuk have to say again, shnayim? It should look like two splits. Meaning, not only the next slit, which is there from before, you need to have a new slit, a new tear. So this is what Rabbi Yehuda holds, that anybody, anytime you tear kriya, you have to do a new tear. You can't just continue the old slit. Okay, now he says, then the Brisa continues, says, Kol ameisim kulam, and all the people that you're tearing kriya for, Sheilul achas shivo ma'achal achas shleishim. You could baste it, I'll tell you what that means, after 7 days, and sew it properly after 30 days. Baste it is, it's loose stitches. Meaning, by all the other relatives, you have to forget, you have to remember, in those days, garments were very expensive. People had no money. We know they used to patch garments all over the place. The Gemara discusses about patches all over the garments.
Well, that's what they mean by old tear. A tear that was torn and then they sewed it. And then
So the Gemara says, for all other relatives, right after for Shiva, you have to tear it, right? Right after Shiva, you can loosely stitch it. And after 30 days, you could sew it properly. But al aviv al imei, but for parents, sheilul achas shleishim, you can loosely stitch it after 30 days. Veinu ma'achal elam, you can never sew it properly. I mean, you can't give it into the tailor to re-sew properly the tear that you did.
You discard it.
I mean, save it. You can save it, but you can't. He says in Halacha, you should know, after the amount of time, you shouldn't walk around with the torn garment. Like when Shiva is over, he says, no, you're not allowed to walk around with the torn garment. Because it's not nice.
But now it's fashion.
To wear torn garments.
Yeah.
That's only on the knees by the jeans that are full of bleach.
Well, that's in right now. Well, wasn't.
That doesn't mean it's honorable.
That's true.
Okay, so. Listen, the Gemara says long hair is despicable. That's what the Gemara says. It says in Allah, you have to take a haircut. We learned before the Gemara, you have to take a haircut before Yom Tov. You shouldn't go into the chag when you're looking despicable. Today, long hair is fashionable. It doesn't mean it's not despicable. But but a woman can baste it, meaning loose, like I said, pin it up a little bit right away because of tznius. Because if a woman's going to tear the garment, and therefore the Gemara says, the Rishonim write, that this Gemara is not going like the opinion of, what's his name? Of an Shimon ben Elazar that says you tear the bottom one, then you turn it inside out, you know, around to the back, because then what do you have to pin it up for? So basically it says a woman has to tear the kriya, but she can loosely stitch it or pin it for tznius purposes, but you can never re-sew it in a proper way. Now the Gemara says like this, Ki also Rabin, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he said, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he brought down Dinam in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, if it matches so. And he said, I'll call a mason kareh b'yad ratza kareh b'keli. I mean, ratza kareh b'yad ratza kareh b'keli. For all other mourners, you could tear with your hand, or you could tear with a knife. That means Rabbi Yechanan said, for a brother, sister, whatever, you could take a knife, and just cut down the 3 or 4 inches. But, al ove valimei, but, for father and mother, you have to do it by hand. So the pasuk can bring down, like we said, that somebody else could start it, you know, just to start the tear to be able to do it, and then you have to tear it, the person has to tear it by hand, a tefach.
How much is the tefach?
3.5 inches. Now, Amr Rabbi Barab, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Barab says the name of Rabbi Yechanan. That what? That I'll call a mason kulam for all other deceased people. Mibefnim, you could render the garments in, tear the garments inside. And here the Rishonim had different discussions what this means. Some Rishonim learn you don't have to do it in public. What it means inside, you can do it privately. Other Rishonim learn no, inside means you can tear the inside of the garment. It doesn't have to be noticeable. As long as you tear the garment, inside is also good. But, al-ovev al-imei, keremi b'chutz. So again, there's two opinions. Either means publicly you have to do it, or you have to tear the outside of the garment that it should be seen that you tore it. There's a very interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and Paskim write that today we don't do it. If somebody is there in a room, when somebody passes away, says in the Gemara, says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to tear kriya. Even if he's not a relative. You want to visit somebody in the hospital, friend, God forbid, and they die. When you're in the room, according to Allah, you have to tear kriya.
On the spot?
On the spot. He says in practical Allah, today is not done. Why? Because nobody's going to go visit the dying person who wants to ruin their clothing. And it's better that somebody should be there when they pass away than having somebody tear their garments. So later, halacha says that if you're in a room and somebody dies, you don't tear your garments. Otherwise, you're going to walk out and you won't be there when the person passes away. Which is a schutz for a person to have, you know, especially a minion, but whatever. But they're not going to tear. They're not going to go. They have to ruin their garments.
Are we going to tear in Yom Tov or?
Cholamay, again, there's so many, it's so interesting. There are many, there's zillions of customs. If somebody's buried Cholamay, Mini Yerushalayim, this is called Mini Yerushalayim, this is B'chlal accepted in the world today. You only tear Kriya Cholamay for parents. Everybody else tears after Yom Tov. In other words, for parents you tear, but you don't keep it on because there's no shiva cholamid, right? So somebody passed away cholamid Pesach, let's say cholamid Sukkis. So you, for parents at the funeral, only for the children, in other words, tear. Then they go home and change into regular garments. And then after Yom Tov, when the shiva starts, they put on the garments. Right, but other people, all the brothers, sisters, parents for children, all that, they don't tear until after Chulamid. Yom Tov itself, you're not allowed to tear. And Yom Tov itself.
Well, the parents are more important than children?
Yep. If somebody, God forbid, loses a child, the whole mourning period is only 30 days.
Yeah.
If somebody loses a parent, it's 12 months.
Why is that? Who made that decision?
The Lord, blessed be He. I mean, it's not me. That's halacha l'mishum Sinai. That's what...
Why would the Lord, blessed be He, just make that decision? Why would He make 30 days for kids and a wife? I know someone just lost their wife. And 30 days.
That's it.
Longer, don't you think?
Why the Ten Commandments?
Well, the parents brought you into the world.
Yeah. Well, nobody, it's harder to lose a child than to lose a parent.
That's true. There's nothing as hard as losing a child. Correct. I'm not saying no. But the bottom line of it is, parents brought you into the world. Your existence is dependent on your parents, and that's it. In fact, the bottom Tesis, I don't know if you're looking, the bottom Tesis brings down Halacha Ketivrei HaMeikel. And Tesis says, the Halacha is HaMeikel only by Avelis, not by Kriya. Right. You know, Kriya has nothing to do with Avelis. It's two different laws. There's a law of tearing, and there's a law of Avelis. Mourning. Then the Gemara says, Amr Rav Chista said, V'chein l'nasi. The same thing, if a Nasi is the leader of the Jewish people, if a Nasi passes away, everybody also has to tear the garments on the outside, just like parents. Okay? So Meitzvei, I'll ask you a question. It says, Lehush v'la'ovev v'li'imrei, the only equation between Nasi and parents is li'ichu b'vad, as far as sewing up the garment. Right? By lava does it not mean afilo Nasi, even to a Nasi. Which means that you don't have to tear publicly like you would for a parent. Chav Beis Amid Beis. 5 lines to the bottom of the page. My lava afilo Nasi, I would think it refers even to a Nasi. So it says, no, labami nasi, excluding a nasi. Meaning, a nasi, you tear like parents. In fact, there's a whole thing in Shulchan Aruch, it says, for a nasi, you tear on the left side. No, on the right.
When they do, when they hear about it, or what?
It's also, that's another interesting, various opinions. Some opinions say, technically in Halacha it says, when you hear the bad news, you're supposed to tear the kriya. Okay. Today the minig is you wait until the funeral. If you're going to be at the funeral, you do it at the funeral. And most places the halacha is at the chapel before they go out to this burial. That's when they tear. Or some people tear in the house before they go to the funeral.
So when the Rebbe Olam Shalom passed, all the Hasidim they tore at the funeral.
At the funeral, yeah. Okay, now the Gemara says a story. Nesiya Shachiv, the Nasi of that whatever generation that was, passed away. Amar le Rav Chista, the Rav Chanan bar Abam, so Rav Chista said to Rav Chanan bar Abam, he said to him, Kapi Asisa, turn over the mortar, meaning turn over the cement, and the Kumalon stand on top of it, meaning go stand up on a high platform, Vachvina Kriya La'alma, and show the public the way you're tearing the garment. Because the Nasi passed away, so everybody was mechuyev to tear kriya for the Nasi. So he said, I want you to get up on the public platform, stand there and tear kriya, that everybody should see the way you do it, meaning everybody will learn that you have to do it. Then the Gemara says, Al Chacham, if a sage passes away, and that's not only for a Nasi, In other words, a person who has, like it says at the bottom, designated in the town to be, you know, the Rav of the city or whatever. So then the din is, Chelitz miyamin. You bear the shoulder on the right, meaning you tear the right side. Al-Av Bezdin, Mismel. For the head of the Bezdin, you tear on the left. Al-Nasi, on the Nasi, Mikano Lakam, both sides, right and left. You tear right and left. Which means, basically, that even though for a parent you only tear one side for the left and the left, but for a Nasi you have to tear both sides. Some means that you don't tear, you only tear one side. Then it says, Son Rabban Rabbanon Lut. It's another price. Chochm Shemais, a scholar that died, Beis Medrashi Batul. The house, his yeshiva, stopped studying. Okay? Meaning those people that study under him cancel the class for the day. That's why university is closer. No. You have to close for the day. Why? Because it's supposed to be eulogizing the Chochm. Av Bezdin Shameis, the head of the Bezdin that dies. Okay? And here at the bottom, they bring down that every city had an Av Bezdin, meaning the dying of the city, so to speak. So then, Kol Bati Midrashi should be Ide B'Telem. All the yeshivas of the city stopped learning. What do they do? V'nechnos on the Beis HaKnesses. They go into the shul, Meshan and the Smekeimim. They go into shul to davening morning and evening, but they change their regular places. Hayeshim b'tzafim. What does it mean they change the regular places? The ones that go to the north, Yeshim b'darim, sit in the south. Yeshim b'darim of the room, it's saying. If you sit on the north side of the room, you change your seat to the south. Those that sit in the south, switch to the north. This is all part of the showing the sign that the life has changed by the Nasi dying.
It's a permanent change that they do?
No. Nasi Shemes, the Nasi that dies, Bati Midrashis, Kulam Batalim, all the Bati Midrashis everywhere. Because he's a leader of the whole people. Everywhere it stops. Ubenez, Akneses, Nechnas, and Lebes Akneses. The people from the shul go into the shul. Vikayin, Shiva, and they have seven people read from the Torah on Shabbos. Vyeitzin, when they leave. And let's see the rest of the verse, and I'll explain what this means. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Emer, Le Sheyelch V'Yitala B'Shuk. What do you mean? It says they come to davening, and then they leave. So Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, by the way, it doesn't mean they go leave to take walks around the town. El, what it means is, El Yeshim V'Daimim. They sit, and they're silent. Meaning like this. What the Gemara says over here is, those that generally pay in the shul, they don't daven with a minion in the shul. If the Nasi dies, it says over here, what they do is, they go to shul to listen to Torah reading. Because that you can't do in your house. Davening, you can daven in your house without a minion. But you can't have Kriyas Tehillah without a minion. So he says, you don't daven, this is what the Gemara says over here, you don't daven with a minion. People, if it's Shabbos, seven people are called up for Kriyas Tehillah. Then they leave shul. I mean, there's no davening in shul because that's social, like, gathering and everybody is broken. And then they go out. So Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says, it doesn't mean they go out walking in the street. You know, but it means, for leisure, it means they sit and they're silent. And they don't say discourses of Talmud or Haggadah in the house of mourning because they're not allowed to learn.
This is Kaddish for Nasi if they don't have any.
Then whoever wants could say. If they don't have parents.
If the Nasi doesn't have children, just say it for
them. So I'm saying, you can have people saying, but the only those that don't have parents are allowed to say Kaddish.
What do you mean they don't have privacy? They cannot get together in a house? Maybe they cannot go to shul?
No. Throughout the week of Shiva, one second. He brings out again from Rashi. They do not pray together in the shul as usual. Rather, each person prays at home. They gather for Torah reading in two. You see in two. And 23:1. Okay? Prayer with the minion is cancelled and out of the deceased Nasi. The minyan is only for reading a Torah, because you can't learn Torah if you don't have a minyan. Or, alternatively means, they daven at the home of the morning rather than in shul.
So it's the
first day. But he says, some explain the Braisa to mean that they don't talk even, Torah reading is only once Shabbos and Shul, and that's it. They don't even do it. No, this is speaking about the week. By Anasi, it's the week.
The whole week?
Yeah.
Maybe that brings them to joy when they gather in the Shul.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. Okay, now, this din, you do not say discourses. The Mefarshim explained this refers to any learning in an Oval's house, because an Oval is not allowed to learn. So it says, Amar lov Rab Chananya ben Gamliel, but they said about Rab Chananya ben Gamliel, he did say learning in the base of the Oval. Okay? Now, over there, there's again a big machlekes v'shem. Some say it was only on Shabbos he permitted it, not during the week, because he came from Yehuda, and the Gemara is going to say later that the people from Yehuda didn't have any avelus on Shabbos.
Who's he?
What's his name? Reb Chananya ben Gamliel. There's a lot of different customs also, by the way. Many people have a minig, that when somebody's a novel, they come to shul Friday night, and they come to shul by Lechadeidi, mm-hmm. and by Be'ev Shalom, the novel walks into the shul.
Mm-hmm. After Lechadeidi.
At the end of Lechadeidi. Mm-hmm. And then they comfort him. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Sfardim do that, do they? The Sfardim don't do that. We don't do it either, because Al-Pi Kabbalah, you don't do any sign of Avelos and Shabbos. Your Shabbos is...
We do it.
I know. That's why I said people do it. No, we don't do that.
We won't tell anybody.
Okay, then the Gemara says this. Tan Rabban Rabbanan Lut. Aval Shabbos Rishena, the first... Here Shabbos doesn't mean Shabbos. It means the first week. The first week of mourning, and he eats in Pesach basis. He doesn't go out of his house. In fact, we know, why do they make a minyan when they're able to in a base hovel? What's the inyan of davening in a base hovel? The reason we make a minyan, because the hovel is not allowed to go out of his house. And he has to say Kaddish. So what do? You make a minyan in the house. Therefore, like, for instance, if there's only girls sitting Shiva, there's no purpose in making a minyan in the house. Unless it's brought down that if the person died in the house, they died in the house, then there's an inyan sometimes to make a minyan during the shiva.
So who says Kaddish?
Oh, they have to hire somebody. Oh. If you're modern Orthodox, you say the woman says Kaddish. Mm-hmm. But it says in Allah it should be very discouraged from women saying Kaddish. No, if there's no son, so then you have interesting shilas. So officially you hire somebody to say Kaddish, right? Mm-hmm. But for instance, I don't remember all the details of the halacha now, but for instance, somebody passed away, no sons. He has a son-in-law and a brother who is first obligated to say Kaddish, the son-in-law or the brother. So it's a machlaikis. No, I'm saying it's different opinions. Now, one's a blood relative, a brother, but the other one's like a son. But it's not, you know, it's not, so the whole shaila, you know, who comes first, who has the obligation to say Kaddish? A person passes away, and there's a few sons-in-law. Which one of the sons-in-law can do it? So a lot of times you have the one that goes to the minyan. The one that davens more with the minyan should be the one doing it. But technically, they all go to the minyan. Well, you know, daven minyan three times
all,
a day.
Right, today they all say Kaddish.
No, don't need to. One says Kaddish.
Does basically get involved with somebody who doesn't have relatives to give funds for Kaddish to give somebody to say Kaddish?
There's no obligation to do, but they usually have somebody say Kaddish, yeah. Kaddish is beneficial for the niftah, and it saves them from Gehenna. Like we discussed in the past, the Zohar says, Kaddish helps, Zut Zohar says, Kaddish helps for an hour and a half of Gehenna. That's why many people have a minig, it's a minig to say 16 Kaddishim a day.
Wow.
Halachically, one Kaddish a day is enough. But it's brought down in Kabbalah, you're supposed to say 16 Kaddishim a day. Because if Kaddish helps for an hour and a half, 16 times 1 and a half is 24, so they protect the 24.
Wow.
It's one of the reasons why people that are in Avelis like to daven for the Amud, if they're able to, because then they have more Kaddishim. You know, you have the Chazan's Kaddishim that you don't otherwise have. What?
Hazan's Kaddishim protect yourself?
Who?
The Hazans?
Do they count?
Everybody's Kaddish helps.
The one that says Kaddish for somebody else, he has a Hakavana for other.
He could do it for a few people, sure. Those people that hire today to say, like yeshivas have people say Kaddish, you pay them, right? They could be saying for 100 people.
Why do we say, what's the minhag that we say Kaddish for every year thereafter on the day of the
Yartzeit?
Yeah. What does that do?
We discussed that helps the neshama go up in Gan Eden itself. In other words, the Gemara says like this, Rishayim burn in Gehenim 12 months. Max. That's even when Rav Shimon Yochai, the Gemara says in Shabbos, when he came out of the cave and he started destroying the world, and Hashem said, hey, go back to where you came from. They said, okay, we're going to go back to hell, to the cave, for 12 months. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, so it says the first year, Kaddish helps the person's neshama from punishment in hell. But after 12 months, they're out of Gehenna. We only say Kaddish, though, for 11 months. Mm-hmm. Okay, Svardim say very interesting. Some they say part of the 12th month too,
right.
But by Ashkenazim they stop at the end of 11 months. Why? You don't want to say, "Oh, my father was a Rasha, and therefore he's burning in hell 12 months, and therefore I have to protect him for 12 months." That's even everybody stops a little bit, a week or so,
right,
to show that they're not a Rasha. Okay, that's for the first year. So then, like you said, like you're asking, what do you do on a Yartzeit? Why do you say Kaddish? Because it says that every Yartzeit, the neshama goes to a higher level. In Gan Eden. So to help the neshama along,
maybe
saying Kaddish helps the elevation of the neshama.
What do you mean by a higher level? What does that mean?
It says, there are different levels of Gan Eden. There's lower levels, you go higher, 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 higher.
What do you make a sense? I don't want to say any more Kaddish for, because I think he's at the level he should be at.
You're not allowed to do that.
You know? What if Chas V'Shalom someone is in no Russia?
No.
So they still
it's disrespectful for a child to say his father was a Russian, even if he was.
So why should the father suffer then, just because the child is
hopefully they do other things instead, other mitzvahs.
So in other words, everybody goes to hell for 12 months
max. But we're, don't worry about it. With all our friends,
huh?
We're with all our friends there anyway, who cares? Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Unless it's solitary confinement.
Huh?
What if it's solitary confinement?
No, solitary confinement. Everybody's partying in hell together.
Anyway, but
Gan Eden is lonely. But Gan Eden is full of people.
I'm just saying, basically, we see higher levels. What does that actually just mean every year?
A level of closer basking in godliness. So neshama goes up to a higher spiritual level, which is a level which has a greater revelation of godliness.
Then what is the Gilgul, Rabbi, when neshama comes
down? Neshama comes down, it comes down again. Neshama wants it to come down, it comes down.
Do you know when did they start saying Kaddish? From
Kaddish, it's interesting. Kaddish was originally instituted for orphans, kids under Bar Mitzvah. If you look in Sfarim, that was originated in the Gemara, was for the kids that got davened for the Amid, because they are not Bar Mitzvah yet, so the Chacham instituted the Kaddish. And that's why it's in Aramaic, because
right,
that's the language they spoke then.
Well, this is like 2,000 years ago?
Basically. Yeah.
children.
So we've been saying Kaddish for 2,000 years.
Right, an orphan kid under Bar Mitzvah couldn't have him for the Amid.
Right, oh.
So they said Kaddish, but they made it in Aramaic.
When was that
instituted? Well, time before the Gemara, the time of the Gemara, I think it was. It's about 1,500 years ago.
And then what happened before
then every. Before that?
To affect the 16 and the 24
hour. I don't know.
Gemara discusses Kaddish?
Yeah, I thought
the Gemara says, yeah, but not necessarily Kaddish Osim. The Gemara says, Kolayna Amin Yeshmer Abba, you know, the Gemara speaks about answering Amin Yeshmer Abba, about answering Amin. So obviously you're talking about Kaddish. But not the mourner's Kaddish. The different Kaddishim. Technically, the Kaddish Al Yisrael Varabanan has nothing to do with a mourner. A person who has parents can say their Kaddish. In fact, in many places, even in many Chabad places, if you have a bochid davening for the Amid, who has parents, like a yeshiva minion, they'll say Shnei Chesu Mashid, you know, Shibana B'Samid, and the Chazan will say a Kaddish to Rabbanan. Just like you can say Kaddish to Skabul, if you have parents, you can say Chati Kaddish if you have parents, right? So Kaddish to Rabbanan, Al Yisrael Rabbanan, deals with the learning of people. Kaddish Yosim you can't say, unless if your parents give you permission.
I thought the source that we have in Gemara, what is the source that brings to the story of Rabbi Kiva with the ghost in the cemetery? You know?
No.
There was a story of Rabbi, this is what I heard was the source for Kaddish, where he went past a cemetery and there was a ghost gathering wood. So he asked him what he was doing, and the ghost said, I'm gathering wood so I can be burned day after day in Gehenna. So he asked him, Rabbi Kiva asked him what he did for a living in the past, so he said he was a poritz. No, you know, he was a tax collector, whatever. He did. He heard a lot of Jews. So he went, Rabbi Kiva went to the town where this guy was from. This is what I heard. He went to the town where the man lived, and he found out that he had a widow and a son. And he took the son, taught him to say Kaddish, taught him off base, taught him to say
and
Kaddish.
And saved the father.
Saved the father, yeah. But the father came back in a dream, so he saved
him. Right.
So people who go to cemeteries, a lot of times they say Kaddish. Most of the time I see they say Al-Israel Kaddish. So in that case, they shouldn't say Al-Israel Kaddish.
No, it depends what you're learning.
But you shouldn't be learning in a cemetery.
You're not allowed to learn in a cemetery.
You can't say the Mishnah before.
Right.
And you can't say Kaddish
at
the wrong time, it's not
your
yahrzeit either.
You can say Kaddish whenever you want.
No, for someone, you can't say somebody that's not as...
The first year. Maybe the first year.
If we have a minion in the room, we're missing one. If you have a minion in this room, if somebody who's allowed to say Kaddish can say it. Perka, tell them to say Kaddish.
But not have in mind someone that's not on your side.
Why not? Say Kaddish any dead person you want. You know, next week I'll look up more about this. There's a lot of interesting dinim. For instance, in halacha brings out what happens if a father was not a nice guy. Let's say the father commanded his kids before he died, I don't want you saying Kaddish for me. Do they have to do it anyway?
Oh, wow.
In other words, if the Kaddish is for the respect of the parent says I don't want, so that's his respect. But if it's not for the respect of the parent, this obligation on the kid, then the father has no right to tell the kid, don't put on tefillin. You know, he has no right to tell the kid, don't say Kaddish. So we'll see next week, Mr. Shem. There's a lot in this.